Bibles, if you'll turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 3, we'll just jump right into this. 1 Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3, we'll begin reading in verse 1. It says, "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. That the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, Here am I. And he ran unto Eli and said, Here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I called not, lie down again. And he went and laid down. And the Lord called yet again, Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. He answered, I called not, my son, lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I. For thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, Go, lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant heareth." Brother Mason, would you open us up in a word of prayer, please?
Lord, we thank you once again for the evening. I pray that you be for the morning of the message now. Help our hearts to be receptive. And let's pray for receiving hearts this evening. Let me thank you this
evening. All right. Thank you. You may be seated. We see here in the book of 1 Samuel in our text tonight, the book of 1 Samuel, as it starts off, is kind of an interesting point in Israel's history. It takes place right after the time of the judges. It closes out the era of the judges, and it's right before the era of the kings. But there's one specific man who fills that gap between the judges and the kings, and that man was Samuel. He was known as what is known as the last judge of Israel, but he was also a prophet, he was also a priest, and before Israel decided they had to have a king, he was the leader in Israel, the mouthpiece of God. Tonight we're going to see the importance of listening when God speaks. Because I believe that God wants to speak to us more than we want to listen at times. And what we need to do is just stop, slow down, and listen when God speaks. Because see, when anybody speaks, there's really two reactions. This is going to be deep. You want to write these down. You listen or you don't listen. The same is very true with God. God wants to speak to us. He wants to speak to us every time the words open, every time you do your devotions, every time you hear a Sunday school message, every time that you hear the Word of God being preached. God wants to speak to your heart. Now, are you going to listen or are you going to ignore it? Tonight I want to talk for a few minutes on this thought. Two people, one message, two reactions. Two people, one message, two reactions. The first person we're going to look at tonight is Eli, the man Eli. Because see, God spoke to Eli and Eli had a reaction. We know that Eli had two sons. In chapter 2, verse 34, and we're going to be all over chapters 1, 2, and 3. We're not going to cover every verse. We're not going to cover all three chapters in their entirety, but we're going to kind of hop around in these three chapters, and we're going to see this. Eli, we know, had two sons. In chapter 2, verse 34, it says, "And this shall be a sign unto thee that shall come upon thy two sons, on Hophni and Phinehas." So we see he had two sons. Names were Hophni and Phinehas. We see in verse 13 where it says, "And the priest's custom with the people was." We know that these two men were priests unto the Lord their God. But they just weren't any kind of priest. They were bad priests. Brother Morgan, that's deep. No, they were bad. In fact, bad might be too good of a word for them. They were pretty perverted men of God. In fact, I don't even like calling them men of God. They were two perverted priests in Israel. You see, in verse 13, it says this, "And the priest's customs with the people was that when any man offered sacrifice, the priest's servants came while the flesh was seething and while a flesh hook of three teeth in his hand." And as we read verses 14 and 15, we're not going to read that, but we'll jump down to verse 16 where it says, "And if any man said unto him, let them not fail to burn the fat presently, and then take as much as thy soul desireth, then he would answer him, nay, but thou shalt give it to me now, and if not, I will take it by force." This is how they operated. They had their new customs. See, God had one way of how to make a sacrifice to the Lord, and these two men, Hophni and Phinehas, they had a different way. It was called, "We'll do it our way." It said in verse 16, "Nay, but thou shalt give it to me now, and if not, I will take it by force." That means we're going to do it our way, and we don't really care what God has to say. In verse 22, it says this, "Now Eli was very old and heard all that his sons did unto all Israel, and how they had lay with women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of his congregation." It's pretty perverted. It's pretty wicked. It's pretty ungodly. In fact, that's anything but the actions of what a priest should be. They perverted the office of the priest through spiritually, and they perverted it morally. They did what they wanted to do when they made their sacrifices. They took more than they were supposed to take to feed themselves. And then the way they treated the women was just perverted. But they also perverted the truth. They said, they were standing before the people saying, "Thus saith the Lord. Now you're going to do it our way or else." We see that they had a reputation in verse 24. It says, "Nay, my sons, for it is no good report that I hear. Ye make the Lord's people to transgress." These two men made all of Israel to transgress against the Lord. I don't know how much more wicked, how much more evil, how much more perverted somebody can be than the man of God to stand before the people and cause the people to transgress against the Lord. Sounds like an oxymoron. But yet here we have two men standing in the pulpits of Israel and doing what they wanted, when they wanted it, however they wanted it. And they didn't care what God had to say about it. So we see that he had two sons. Secondly, we're going to see about Eli is Eli had a message from God. Eli had a message from God. In verse 22, it says, "Now Eli was very old and heard all this that his sons did unto Israel." He heard what they were doing. This was no secret. This was no surprise to Eli. He knew exactly what his sons were doing. He had heard about it. We also know that God, and this is very sad, God had to send a man of God to the man of God to deliver a message. because the man of God was not in a position to listen. In verse 30, it says, or verse 27 rather, "And there came a man of God unto Eli, and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Did I plainly appear unto the house of thy father when thou wert in Egypt in Pharaoh's house?" In verse 30, "Wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever." God was telling him, Eli, in this message, hey, I chose you. I chose your house. I chose your lineage. I chose y'all to be the messenger, to be the ministers unto me. But in verse 31 it says, "Behold, the days come that I will cut off thine arm and the arm of thy father's house, and there shall not be an old man in thine house." If we were to read verses 32 through 34, we would see that it just keeps getting on. The Lord has pronounced judgment against the house of Eli, and he did so because of what his sons had done and the way he reacted towards it. In verse 34 it says, "And this shall be a sign unto thee, that thou shalt come upon thy two sons on Hophni and Phinehas, and one day they shall both die of them." God sent a message to Eli. You know what your sons are doing. They're not doing right. They're perverting the truth. They're perverting the office of priest. And as such, you've done nothing. Therefore, I chose you to be my minister. Now I've rejected you. You're going to have to pay for your sins. So we see that they had a son, and we see they had a message. Third thing we're going to see about Eli is he had an opportunity to obey. He had an opportunity to obey, an opportunity to get right. Well, Brother Morgan, you just said that the Lord had pronounced death upon him. Well, how many times do we read in the Scripture where God said, "Go into Nineveh and cry against it"? It's toast. And then the city of Nineveh said, "God, have mercy on us." And they got right. Every time God gives you a message, he gives you an opportunity to get right. Amen. Here, Eli had a chance to obey. He knew what his sons were. He knew what his sons were doing. He had heard of the report of it. But what did he do? In verse 23, chapter 2, 1 Samuel, it says this, "And he said unto them, Why do ye such things? For I hear of this evil dealings by all this people. Nay, my sons, for it is no good report that I hear. Ye make the Lord's people to transgress. If one man sin against another, the judge shall judge him. But if a man sin against the Lord, who shall entreat for him? Notwithstanding, they hearken not unto the voice of their father, because the Lord would slay them." He had an opportunity. If we would have stopped reading, and if we ended the story right here, it would be good. He was getting on them and said, "Hey, what you're doing is wrong. What you're doing is not right. You need to stop it. You're causing all of Israel to transgress." If we'd have stopped there, that would have been good. We would have been, "Good for you, Eli. You did what you were supposed to do." However, there's verse 29. During the message that God had given him from the man of God, he says this. The Lord says, "Wherefore kick ye at my sacrifices and my offering, which I command in my habitation, and honorest thy sons above me, to make yourselves fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel, my people." At the end of the day, Eli chose his family over God. He chose, "Well, they're my boys. Boys will be boys. They're not that bad. Oh, come on, God, give them a break." He ultimately chose his family over God. He could have said, "Sons, knock it off." He should have said, "Sons, that's it, you're done. You've abused the privilege, you've abused the office, you've perverted the word of God, get out, you're done." That's what he should have done. But instead he slapped him on the wrist and says, "You shouldn't do that. You might want to rethink that. Don't do it anymore." And then at the end of the day, God says, "Hey, you've honored your sons, you've chose your family over choosing me and the word of God." So we see that Eli reaps the consequences of his actions. In chapter 4, verse 17. Chapter 4, verse 17. It says this, "And the messenger answered and said, Israel has fled before the Philistines, and there had been also a great slaughter among the people. And thy two sons also, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead. And the ark of God is taken. And it came to pass, when he made mention of the ark of God, that he fell from the seat backward by the side of the gate, and his neck brake, and he died. For he was an old man and heavy, and he judged Israel 40 years. Here we see the end of it. God gave him an opportunity to repent. He said, hey, I'm going to end up cutting off your entire seed from Israel. Eli didn't listen. God was speaking, but Eli wasn't listening. And we see that it cost him the life of his two sons, and it cost him his own life as well. We see that Eli had an opportunity to stop and listen to what God was saying, but he chose to disregard it. The second person we're going to see is Samuel. You're like, Brother Morgan, you're flying, you're going to be done. Not so much. The second person we're going to see is Samuel. Before we can see if Samuel, we here on a Wednesday night crowd, we're fairly familiar with who Samuel is, what his mother was. So we're just going to touch some of the highlights. We know about his mother. We know that she was unable to have a son, so much so that it grieved her, it hurt her, it made her weep bitterly. She would have given anything to have a son. So she did what only she could do in that situation. She prayed. Because if there was one person who could give her a son, it would be the Lord. So she prayed for a son. In chapter 1, verse 17, it says this, "Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him." She receives her answer. She was praying. We know that she was praying. She was in such grief and such sorrow, and her heart was so broken that she wasn't mumbling. And Eli comes around and he sees her there, and he instantly thinks this woman is drunk. I wonder why he thought that. Could be that his sons were abusing the office, and he thought this is just another drunk, crazy lady laying around the temple. And she said, no, I'm not. I'm praying. I'm pouring out my heart before God. It says in verse 15, "And Hannah answered and said, No, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have poured out my soul before the Lord." That's how bad she wanted a son. We know that she made a vow unto the Lord. "Lord, if you'll give me a son, I will turn him back over to you, and you can do with him as you please." We see in verse 17 that Eli, not knowing what she was praying for, said, "Hey, God's going to answer your prayer. You can go your way." In verse 18, we see that she leaves. And she was able to go and she was able to eat. And it says in verse 18, "And her countenance was no more sad." She had prayed and God had answered her prayer. She was going to have a child. In verse 20, we see, "Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about, after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son, and called his name Samuel, saying, Because I have asked of him of the Lord." God answered her prayer. He kept his word to her. In verses 25 through 28, we're going to read that. You can read that as I'm talking. She kept her promise. She got him to where she was old enough to walk and to talk. And she took him back to the temple and said, "Eli, you remember me? I was that person who was praying and pouring out her heart. And you said that God was going to answer my prayer. Well, here he is. This is the child that I was praying for. I'm turning him over to you so that I'm giving him back to the Lord." We see that she kept her promise. So we know about Samuel and how he came into the world. But let's look at his life in the temple. Because he grew up in the temple. You know, most of us get to grow up at our home. Most of us get to grow up with our mom and dad. Samuel, only by the grace of God, had to be trained by Eli. If you think about Hophni and Phinehas and how perverted and wicked they turned out, it's only by the grace of God Samuel turned out as good as he did. Mm-hmm. So we're going to look secondly at his life in the temple. As we look at a few verses, think about the contrast between, again, Samuel and Hophni and Phinehas. Chapter 2, 1 Samuel 2, verse 18, it says this, "But Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child girded with a linen ephod." He ministered. That word minister means served. He served before the Lord. being a child. On Sunday, I was teaching the Sunday school class, and I told them, you're never too young and you're never too old to serve the Lord.
Right.
As long as He gives you breath, you have something you can serve Him with.
Amen.
We see here that he served before the Lord, as opposed to Hophni and Phinehas, who served their own flesh. In chapter 3, verse 1, it goes on to say this, "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli." That word before means alongside of, in face of. Brother Morgan, what does that tell us? That means he served the Lord, he ministered unto the Lord with Eli. He was his assistant. He was his tag-along, if you will. He served side by side. Eli watched over Samuel to make sure that the way he was serving the Lord was right. He was serving in the face of Eli. And you know what? Again, it's only by the grace of God. Because no doubt he trained his boys to serve the Lord the same way. And look how they turned out. In 1 Samuel 2, verse 26, it says this, "And the child grew on and was in favor both with the Lord and also with men." We knew that as he served there in the tabernacle and the temple, that he grew in favor with God and with man. That word favor means literally good, which is completely opposite of Hophni and Phinehas, which were evil, wicked men. He grew in favor with God. It's good to grow good with God. It's grow to have a relationship where you can grow. And God can look down and He can say, "Good Caudill. Good Brother Pennington. Good Faulkner. Good Hamilton. Good Morgan." It's a good thing to grow in favor, to where God can go down and say, "Good. He grew in my favor." It's also not a bad thing when people like you. Brother Morgan, should we live our life so people would like us? You heard what I said. I didn't say that. I said we should want people to like us. You should not be the most obnoxious, ill-thought-of person in the workplace. Why? Brother Morgan, why would I? Why not? I don't like these people. They're wicked. They're sinners. I don't like them. They don't like me. How are they going to hear about God if they don't like you? If you're the most hated person in the workplace, they're not going to listen to you, much less listen to what God has to say. It's a good thing that Samuel had favor both with God and man. God was able to look down and say, "Good, Samuel, good. You're doing good. You've got my favor." And he was liked by men. People were able to look at him and said, "That's Samuel. He's a good man. You can trust him. You can give him whatever task. He's a good worker. He's good. He does right," as opposed to those other two people, that Hophni and Phinehas guy. They're wicked, perverse people. They caused the hearts of the people of Israel to turn against God. And yet here was Samuel, who was gaining favor with man. In chapter 2, verse 35, it says this, "And I will raise me up a faithful priest that shall do according to that which is in mine heart and my mind. And I will build him a sure house, and he shall walk before mine anointed forever." God here in this message to Eli told Eli, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to raise up a faithful priest. Now, Eli knew who that was. It was no secret. Here's a man he was training, who was his servant, who was serving the Lord alongside of him, who had the favor of God and had the favor of man. Eli knew it was going to be Samuel. It says, "Who shall do according to all that is in mine heart and my mind." That just goes to show how wicked Hophni and Phinehas and Eli had become. They were not doing what was in God's heart and what was God's mind. He was faithful. God was able to say, Samuel was faithful. In the areas he was able to serve me, from a child until now, he ministered unto the Lord, and he was faithful in that. Chapter 3, verse 1, It says this, "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days." No doubt Samuel had come to love the word of God. The word of God was precious in those days, but how much more precious was it to Samuel? His whole job, he lived in the temple. It was his job to minister unto the Lord. It was his job to take care of the place and to do and to have exposure to the word of God all that time. Precious. That word precious means of real value. The opposite of worthless. It said here that the word of the Lord was precious in those days. No doubt the word of God to Samuel was the most valuable thing that he had. His whole job, his whole life, was to the dedication of the Lord, so his words would be of real value. So that's kind of what his life in the temple was like. He was a minister. He ministered before the Lord. He ministered and assisted Eli. We know that he grew in favor there before God and man. He was faithful in the job that he was to do. And we see that he had a real love for the word of God. Let's look thirdly at his call. Samuel's kind of unique. He had four calls. Brother Morgan, why is that unique? Well, he didn't realize he was calling the first three times. He didn't have that caller ID that we have on our phones these days. It was just an unknown name and an unknown number. His first call in chapter 3, verse 2 says this, "And it came to pass at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place, that his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. That the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, Here am I. And he ran unto Eli and said, Here am I, for thou calledest me. And he said, I called not. Lie down again. And he went and laid down." It was nighttime. The lights had been trimmed. Eli was in bed. Samuel had laid down for the night. It said in verse 3, to sleep. And as he's in bed trying to sleep, he hears the voice, "Samuel." Well, who could that be? Obviously, it's got to be Eli. He's the only other person here. So he jumps up out of bed and he rushes over to Eli and he says, "Here am I. Here am I, for thou calledest me." Eli's like, "Why are you waking me up? It's nighttime. We're supposed to be sleeping. I didn't call you. Go and lay back down." So he went and laid back down. We see the second call in chapter 3, verse 6. "And the Lord called yet again, Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli, and he said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not, my son. Lie down again." He called again, and he jumped up, and he ran over to Eli, and he says, "You called me. I know you called me. Thou didst call me. You're the only other one here, and I heard you call." And Eli's like, no, I did not call you. Go lay back down. Go back to bed." In verse 7, it says this, "Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him." But that was about to change. In verse 8, it says this, "And the Lord said," or the Lord called Samuel again the third time. "And he arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, Go, lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place." We see the third call. Same thing. Laying down, they're trying to sleep, and he hears Samuel. So he gets up and he goes back over to Eli. He's like, "Eli, you called me. I'm not going crazy, really. You called me. Thou didst call me." And it was at this time Eli started to realize maybe it's God calling him. Maybe next time you hear Samuel, this is what you do. The next time you hear somebody say your name, say, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." Now go back to bed. And it says, "And he went and lay down in his place." Each time we see several things about Samuel, about the character of him. He was dedicated. You have to be pretty dedicated to the job that you're committed to get up in the middle of the night and go running over to where somebody is and say, "Yes, you called? He was focused. He had one job to do. In chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "And the child ministered unto the Lord before Eli." He had one job to do. Minister unto the Lord before Eli. If Eli needed something, it was his job to take care of it. He was focused on that. Didn't matter what time of day, didn't matter when the call came, he was focused on doing his job. We see he was willing to do his job. He didn't care when he caught the call. It says that they were laid down to sleep. He was willing. He was willing to do whatever it takes to get the job done. He was willing to do whatever he had to do to serve the Lord. If that meant getting up in the middle of the night, that's what it took. And we see also he was faithful. Every time he heard the word Samuel, he jumped up, he ran in there and said, "Here am I, thou didst call me." And Eli says, "No, I did not. Go back to bed." He was faithful. He never once stopped and thought, "Eli, this is getting old. You want to sleep, I want to sleep. Let's stop playing games. Just say what you have to say." I don't see that anywhere. I see a faithful young man who, when called, did what he was supposed to do. And then we see his fourth call in verse 10. "And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, 'Samuel, Samuel.' Then Samuel answered, 'Speak, for thy servant heareth.'" He obeyed Eli. Eli says, "If you hear the call again, just say, 'Speak, for thy servant heareth.'" God called him again, and he said, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." You know, he was faithful. He was obedient. He was dedicated. He was focused. He was willing. I'm just going to be honest to you right now. If my boss gives me a call at 2 o'clock in the morning and says, "I need this sign done ASAP. You have a key to the building. Get down there and do it." You know what I'm going to say? It can not only wait till 8 o'clock, it's going to wait till 8 o'clock. And I'm going to go back to bed. But if Pastor called me at 2 o'clock in the morning and says, "Brother Morgan, I need to talk with you ASAP," that's a different story. One thing I'm focused on doing. One thing I'm willing to do. Some things I'm just not willing to do. But Samuel, he was focused. He was willing. He was dedicated. He was faithful to the job that he was to do. And we see that he finally arrived to that verse in chapter 2 where it says, "And I will raise me up a faithful priest to do accordingly." Samuel was ready. We know of his call now. We saw what his life was like in the temple. We saw his call. We're going to see that God gave him a message as well. The same message he gave to Eli, to obey. In chapter 3, look at verse 11. It says, "And the Lord said to Samuel, 'Behold, I will do a thing in Israel at which both the ears of every one that heareth it shall tingle.'" That's some bad news. You ever had bad news to make your ears tingle? Yeah. That's some bad news. I've gotten my fair share of bad news in my life. But never have my ears tingled. Never have I cringed. But that's what was going to happen. In verse 12 it says, "In that day I will perform against Eli all the things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end." That's not a good thing. When the Lord says, "When I begin judging you, I'm going to end judging you. I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to turn my hand. It's going to come, and there's no way around it. It's coming." It says, "For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not." Time after time after time after time, God said, "Eli, you need to stop your sons. They are vile. They are wicked. They are unholy. They need to be stopped." And we saw at the end of the day, Eli honoreth his sons over God. Verse 14, "And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever." I never want to get to the point in my life where God says, "That's it. Your iniquity is your own. It's not going to be purged." I never want God to get to the point where He's like, "When I begin, I'm going to see this through. And I don't care how much you say sorry. I don't care how much you make changes in your life. It's coming." Eli didn't listen. But we see Samuel has an opportunity to listen. The message that God gave to Samuel was a message against Eli. Think about this. Eli was the most important person in Samuel's life. He grew up in the temple. He didn't have mother and father coming and taking care of him. They came once a year and offered their sacrifices, and we could have looked at verses where Hannah brought him a coat and some sandals and some other things, but no, Eli, for the most part, was the most important person in Samuel's life. And now God says, "I'm done with Eli. He's going to die. His sins have gone unrepented. He refuses to listen. I'm done with him." Samuel now has a choice. The most important person in his life outside the Lord has God's judgment coming down on him, and it's going to come down pretty hard. In verse 15 it says, "And Samuel lay until the morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel feared to show Eli the vision." And rightly so. I can understand where he's coming from. If God appeared to me in a vision and says, "Brother Morgan, your dad, I've had it with him. He's wicked. He's rebellious. He refuses to get right. I want you to go tell him that it's over." I can tell you one thing. There would be some prayer. There would be some fasting. I'd probably come and talk with Pastor. I'd probably talk with the men in this church. I don't know that I could just go up to my dad and say, "Dad, thus saith the Lord, he's done with you." And that's exactly what Samuel had to do. No doubt, he feared to show Eli the vision. He has a choice to make, though. In verse 16, it says, "Then Eli called Samuel and said, 'Samuel, my son.' And he said, 'Here am I.' And he said, 'What is this thing that the Lord hath said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee, and more also, if thou hide anything from me, all the things that he said unto thee.'" He has a choice now. Listen to God, give Eli the message, or choose family over God. Verse 18, it says this, "And Samuel told him every whit, and hid nothing from him. And he said, 'It is the Lord, let him do what seemeth him good.'" He was faithful. He was faithful to the Lord. He was loyal to the Lord. The word of the Lord was precious unto him. He was in a position now where, yes, he loved Eli. Yes, he loved him like a father. He was his mentor. He was his guide. He had taught him everything he knew about serving the Lord. And now it's come to the point where he has to proclaim judgment against him. And he did it. It said he told him every whit and hid nothing from him, because that's what the Lord told him to do. He loved the Lord more than he loved Eli. So we saw his message, and we saw his obedience to give in that message. Last thing I want to see about Samuel is his transition. From this point on, in this verse, in verse 18 of chapter 3, there's a transition made. It is a transition made from following and learning under Eli to going after God. From this time forward, he would not be answering Eli when he said Samuel. He would be answering the Lord when the Lord said Samuel. His time with Eli had come to an abrupt end. He'd learned what he had to learn. He had proven himself faithful. He had proven himself loyal to God. He chose to listen to the word of God when it was presented, and God was ready to use him. Well, Brother Morgan, how do you know that? Because verse 19 follows verse 18. That's why. Verse 19 says, "And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground." We see here he grew in the Lord. He continued to grow in the Lord. God was important to him. It was very important to him. He saw the Lord as a relationship worth investing in. And we see that the Lord was with him. Not only was the Lord with him, in verse 20 it says this, "And all Israel from Dan even unto Beersheba knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord." Not only did Samuel know that he was with him, everybody who ever looked at Samuel knew the hand of God was on his life, knew that Samuel was God's man. And then in verse 21 it says this, "And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord." As Samuel grew closer and closer to the Lord continued to reveal himself through his word. So we saw Eli, we saw Samuel, we saw two men, both given the same message, obey. Eli, obey. Tell your sons they're wrong, deal with it. Eli says, no, thank you. He did not listen. He disregarded what the Lord had to say. Then we saw Samuel, and God gave him a message. I want you to obey. Tell Eli it's over. And we saw that he chose to hearken unto what God had to say. Well, Brother Morgan, that's all great and everything. But what can we take away from this? Well, the last thing we want to look at is some application, and we'll be done. Because what's the point in reading the Bible if you're not going to apply what you've read? Apply the truths from His Word. We all have a reaction when we hear from the Lord. Again, are we going to regard what He says? Are we going to listen? Or are we going to ignore Him and disregard what He has to say? If we choose to disregard what God has said, then we are essentially like Eli. We can overlook sin. We can justify sin. We can deal half-heartedly with sin. But there's no real change. There's no real care. We can do what we want, when we want, however we want. Slap a name Christian on the end of our life and say we were good. We can pervert the Word of God. We can say, well, I see this verse this way, or I see that verse that way. We can pervert our God and say, hey, God is a God of love. He understands my heart. He understands my intentions. We can pervert our testimony. Morgan, you a Christian? Oh, yeah. Then why are you saying stuff like that? Why are you doing stuff like that? Oh, well, you know, I'm just trying to be one of the guys. God knows my heart. And you can pervert everybody who comes after you. Is one of the hardest things in the workplace that I have to deal with on a daily basis. I'm like, God's been so good. Oh, you're a Christian. Yeah, I'm a Christian. I'm not ashamed of the fact that I'm a Christian. If you'd known what He'd done for me, that He could do it for you, you'd be great. You'd want to be a Christian too. Well, I knew this Christian, and he did this, and he did that, and quite frankly, you're all a bunch of hypocrites. If we choose to not listen to God, if we disregard it, we pervert the Word of God. We pervert our God, we pervert our testimony, and we ruin any chance of others who come after us to have any real influence in their life. We, like Eli, put other things in front of God. Eli put his sons before God. We saw the verse, he honoreth his sons over honoring God. You have this whole philosophy of do what you want, when you want to do it, however you want to do it. Eli's sons introduced a new way to worship God, a new way to make sacrifices. In fact, it wasn't an option. It was the law. This is the way we're going to do it. And they were able to justify it. Well, I'm the man of God. We're the men of God. Certainly we know what God expects and wants. You can disregard what God says, but don't forget, you don't listen to God, He's going to be displeased with you. Just like He was displeased with Eli, just like He was very displeased with His sons, and just like He dealt with Eli and his two sons, He will judge you if you do not listen. Well, Brother Morgan, I thought we had a free choice. You do. You don't have to listen. But it's only fair to tell you that if you don't listen, it's going to bring judgment. When I was a child, I couldn't do whatever I wanted to. Okay, I was a kid. Strike one. I was a middle child. Middle child syndrome. Strike two. I was a boy. Strike three. I was in trouble before I ever woke up in the morning. I like to throw rocks. I like to throw rocks at windows. You know what rocks do to windows? They break them. You know how cool that is to a little kid? It's really cool. And so you throw more, and you throw more. I remember one time on Guam, when my dad was stationed there, I was with my buddy. We got up at 6 o'clock because, you know, mom and dad were still sleeping. And I ran over to his house, and he's like, hey, look at these. And we went around in his yard, and we were finding rocks, and there was this abandoned house. Nobody lived there. Who cares? We're kids. We went through the back of the house, and we were chucking rocks, busted every window along there. Yeah. I got in trouble. And my friend, some friend, I just stood here and watched Richard do it. And you know what my parents said? Your reputation precedes you, young one. You're in trouble. They didn't. I was like, but he was throwing them with me. Right. I got in trouble. I did what I want when I wanted. I thought I could get away with it. But my parents were very displeased. And I got judged. You don't have to listen to God. But if you don't, He will be displeased and He will judge you. But then there's another option. You could listen. Is it easy? No. But you could listen. Slow down. Don't go so fast in life. Slow down and notice things. My original message that I'm not preaching because I'm preaching on Eli. I was sitting there and I was like, Lord, pastor's asked me to preach. What do I need to preach on? And I was eating some gummy bears. And I was like, ooh, Christians are like gummy bears. They're resilient. They should be resilient. You can smash gummy bears and you know what they do? They pop right back up. Nothing offends them. It's great. They leave a good taste in your mouth. They're fun to be around. I mean, I had a great outline and God said, you better listen. That's not happening. And so I was like, but Lord, this one's a fun one. He's like, you know, at the nursing home, when those people fall asleep, if you need to preach it, that's the place to preach it. And so that was my first message. I was like, oh, that's good. But I chose to listen to the Lord, and we're learning about Samuel and listening. If we choose to listen to the God, there's eight things that are going to happen. Number one, and this is the most important one, the Word of God is going to be deemed precious to us. It is going to be considered something that we favor. Why? Well, what is the Bible? God's Word. We call it God's Word. It is God talking to us. It's how He reveals what He wants us to do. It's His words. What do you do when you see words? You're supposed to read them and you're supposed to listen. And if you deem the Word of God precious, you will listen every time. When you put value on something, you don't care what anybody else thinks about it. If it has value to you, you're going to protect it. You're going to treat it with the utmost respect. If you listen to God, the Word of God will become precious to us. Just like how Samuel listened, we will too will grow in the Lord. And as we grow in the Lord, we will grow closer to the Lord. It's no secret around here that pastors preaching through a series, Pursuing God. There's only one way you're going to pursue God, and that's to listen. It's been my experience as a kid and in life, when I'm listening, I like running towards authority. When I'm not listening, I like to run away from authority. When you listen to God, you want to grow closer to Him. You want to pursue Him. You will want to grow closer towards Him. When you choose to listen to God, you will gain favor with God. That's a good thing.
Amen.
It's always a plus. Anytime that you can live in this sinful, wicked world and read and grow close to God and spend time in His Word and pray and do everything that it is humanly possible with the Lord's help to try and grow closer to you, He'll look down and say, good. That should be the desire of every Christian anyway, to get to heaven and say, hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant.
Right.
We ought to want to strive to gain favor with God. If God was important in our life, and I say if, you'll strive to seek favor of Him. When I was a kid, as much as I was in trouble, I still wanted to make my parents proud of me. We ought to be the same way with God. We ought to want to seek favor with God. Another thing, if we choose to listen, we'll be active in service. If you're listening to God, you won't be satisfied just sitting on a pew. You won't. Brother Morgan, how do you know? Because He doesn't say, just sit on the pew. Just show up for Sunday morning and sit on the pew and you'll be fine. No, He wants you to be active. There's more than enough to do around here. If you have nothing to do, see Pastor. He'll give you something to do. Clean the church. You know, it's only by serving the Lord that you would actually want to clean the bathrooms. It is only by the... I dislike vacuuming. But I don't mind vacuuming at church. See, me and my brother, we have an arrangement. I clean the bathrooms, he vacuums. I'd rather clean the bathrooms at our house than to vacuum. I just dislike vacuuming. But if I have to vacuum at church, you know what? It's cool. I get to vacuum for my Lord. Makes all the difference. You'll be active in service. Not only will you be active in service, you will be faithful to Him and to His work. When I'm not here, when I have a migraine, when I'm sick, I'm of all people most miserable. I want to be here. I hate missing church. I think dying would be easier than missing church. And there are times when my brother will come home and I'll have tears in my eyes when I miss church. Because for whatever reason, I have to be at home in bed with this and not being in the church. I love being here. What is my alternative? The world? Oh yeah, that's a great alternative. The world hates our Lord. Hates any mention of His name in society. Why would I want to hang out there? Why would I want to be with that crowd? Do I want to see Him saved? Yes. But that's about where it stops. I don't want to hang out. I don't want to watch their stuff. I don't want to do what they do. I don't want to use their language. I want to be faithful to my Lord and to His work. You know, Samuel worked his whole life in the temple to prepare himself to be usable by God. If we choose to listen, He's going to use us. How cool is that? God would use you. Worthless sinner, deserving of hell, and God would use you. All we have to do is listen. And this is my favorite one. If we choose to regard what God has to say to us, 1 Samuel 3, verse 21, it says, "And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed Himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord." If we choose to listen, we will build a solid relationship with God. I wake up in the morning and I get to read my Bible. I don't have to. I get to. It's not a choice. It's not an option. It's, I wake up and I read my Bible. That's it. No choices made. Do I need to? No, it's, I do it. After I'm done reading my Bible, I pray. It's not a choice. Should I read my Bible? Should I pray? No, I do it. Why? Because I'm interested in what God has to say. The Word of God is important to me. The Word of God is important in my life. And I can have a relationship with God like Samuel had. And all I have to do is listen when God speaks. You want a blessed life? You want to enjoy life to the fullest? You want a life money can't buy? I had somebody tell me that at work this week. I wish I could afford one of those lives like those celebrities. I'm like, I have a life money can't buy. And they're like, really? How'd you do that? I said, it's simple. I just listen to God. When God speaks, I listen, and I have a life money can't buy. Sure. By way of conclusion, in a moment we're going to stand, we're going to have the invitation. But I want you to think about this. We all have a reaction to God when He speaks. Right. We all do. You need to ask yourself tonight, what is my reaction going to be when God speaks? Every time I do my devotions, what's my reaction going to be? Am I going to listen or am I going to disregard what He has to say? When pastor's preaching, am I going to listen to God or am I going to ignore what He has to say? When I'm in Sunday school, am I going to think about other things or am I going to listen and see what God has for me? What is your reaction going to be? It might be that here tonight you're lost. And it might just be that God is trying to talk to you, convict you with His Holy Spirit. Are you going to disregard His voice? Or are you going to listen to that voice? And in a moment when we have an invitation, come forward, take your side privately. You guys know the routine. It's the usual crowd. Take your side privately. We're not going to embarrass you. Just give you an opportunity to hear what God has to say about how you can be saved and leave you with the choice. It might be that you've seen an area, as I was talking and as I was delivering the message, you've seen an area that you know is wrong in your life. Don't disregard what God's saying. That's how Eli got in trouble. You can come forward and you can get it right tonight. Or it might be that you're like Samuel. You listen to His Word. You have that desire to listen to His Word. You can come and you can thank Him for His grace. And you can make a commitment to continue pursuing His presence. Here's the one that got me the most. It might just be you know somebody who has disregarded God's Word in their life. You could come and pray for them. And say, Lord, they've disregarded their Word in your life. Bring them back to you. However He may have spoken to you, in a moment, you can come forward and do business with God. So I'll stand and bow our heads.